Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Jesus says, I'm in the Father, right? Father God. And he's saying, you're in me and I'm in you. He's saying we're doubly protected. Isn't that terrific? We're doubly protected. You know, I'm in Christ, Christ in you, and we're all in the Father God. I mean, that is amazing protection. This is what Paul is saying here. He's saying you got on these three pieces of armor, but said in addition to this, if you're really going to stand and walk in the 21st century, you've got to have three other things.
The truth is, the wisest Christian knows their vulnerabilities. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Know Your Weakness, and shows you that no matter how strong you think your faith is, you must take up the armor of God every day to stand against Satan's attacks. Don't go anywhere. That's coming up. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a powerful resource from Dr. Young called Unmasking Evil. This timely sermon series shines a light on the evil and suffering you see around you today and exposes the lies our culture believes that actually wreck people's lives. As you learn from God's Word where evil comes from and how it works, you'll be equipped to stand against evil in your own life and in our culture. We'll send you this 5-message series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request Unmasking Evil when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Know Your Weakness.
Why are you in church today? Good question. Why am I here? Good question. What if, and I don't think there's an if, that God wrote your name and my name, Homer Edwin Young, you will be in church on that day, and I have a divine appointment with him, and you have a divine appointment with him. But what if I would miss the reason he wanted me to be here today, or you would miss the reason he wanted you to be here today? Wouldn't that be a tragic thing? To have an appointment with the Almighty God that we worship and we were there, but we missed it. God has a will for every life. His intentional will and plan for you and me, right? But a lot of people say, boy, I should have done that. I should have gone there. I should have said yes to that and no to that. And we miss out on God's best. All of us have not batted 1,000 in our choices we made. And some people go through their whole life lamenting over what could have been, should have been, ought to have been. And that's sad. But we're here today, and God has an intentional will for us, and then he has a circumstantial will, and that's where we are. He had just said, and a lot of people, well, I missed it. No, you didn't. We start right here with this divine appointment and say, today, in this circumstantial will, I'm going to see how he wants me to walk and live the rest of my life, and then his intentional will for you and me will be carried out. So we need to discover how he wants us to walk. How he wants us to walk. Let's pray together for a moment. Father, your word is so clear, so plain. Don't let us get confused or be timid and shy about seeing the beautiful thrust of your truth. Lord, may we listen with open hearts and minds as the Holy Spirit takes your word, and Lord, may it just explode within us. We'll leave this place of worship saying one thing. I don't know what happened to me, but I did have an appointment with Almighty God. You speak, let me get out of the way, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's an athlete, 6 feet 6 inches tall, 285 pounds. Can bench press 1,000 pounds 50 times. An athlete can run the 40 in 4.2. Now, ladies, that is swooft. Very intelligent, well muscled. He has everything: strength, skill, intelligence, powerful, aggressive, teachable. He's got everything. NFL team signs him up to play any position he wants to play. He's so good, J.J. Watt would sit on the bench if he took his position. He wouldn't be able to play with him. Oh, yeah, he's something, this guy. But he goes out to the first game, he tells the coach, I play only in jogging shorts, barefooted jogging shorts. That's all I wear when I play. Coach says, man, I know you've got a... No. That's the way I play. Just jogging shorts. Okay. He goes out on the first kickoff. Man, these guys, he's superior to everybody, but without the cleats on and the thigh pads and hip pads, shoulder pads, helmet on, man, the first play, bam, he is hurt. Now, say something. Those of you who don't know athletics, it's one thing being hurt, it's another thing being injured. If you're hurt, you keep on playing. You're just hurting. It's all right. You stay in the game. If you're injured, you have to come out of the game. Now, he on that first play, he is hurt because all he's got a pair of shorts on. I mean, they hit him with all their pads. He's hurt. All right, he goes back in the game, and then he plays another play or two, and now he's really hit, and now he's injured, so he can't play. He's crippled. He's on the bench. It may be an injury that he can get over. Maybe an injury had to have surgery. It may be an injury that he's put out of the game for life. You don't know, but he's injured. With all the stuff God had given this super athlete in our imagination, where did he make his mistake? He didn't put on the suit. That's exactly what Paul is saying to us who are walking with Christ. He's saying, look, you may be strong, you may be determined, you may think you can handle life, but you have an enemy that is so insidious, that is so behind the scenes, that is so scheming, that is so powerful, the world, the flesh, the devil, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. You can't stand up. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be injured, and it's going to take you out of the game. Just like that Humvee, you remember, had light armor and mud flaps. Wasn't enough because there were bombs underneath. Had to put on the whole armor underneath the Humvee because our troops were getting crippled or killed. And in life, Paul would tell us, like in the Louvre, when all those rats were running around the garden and the animal lover says, don't kill those rats. Leave those rats alone. They have as much right to be here as you do. They've forgotten the rats spread all the diseases you can imagine in so many ways. And so Paul is saying, there's a lot of rats running around. Have you noticed that? A lot of evil forces, a lot of tendencies, and they work so many ways in your life and in my life. And we have to put on the full armor of God in order to be able to, what are we to do? Stand firm. Stand firm. To be successful in our winning walk. Now, we've already, if you've been around, put on three pieces of armor. Have you noticed it? We've already put that on. If you missed that, you could still put it on, but you missed it. We put on armor. What's the first thing we put on? The belt of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, teenagers, let me tell you something. If you don't put on truth, the rest of it doesn't make any difference. Is your life built around truth? Can you go to the Lord and say, Lord, is there anything about me that's phony, that's hypocritical, that's shallow? Anything I need to handle in the past or the present that doesn't speak of objective truth? Try that, and God will just uncover some holes that you may have in your life that deals with your veracity and your honesty and your transparency, your genuineness, your integrity. Truth. Put on truth. Got to have truth. Got to have truth. The next thing we put on, we go and we put on the belt. Then you put on the vest of righteousness. And that's something we have in Christ. We studied that in Romans till we were blue in the face. It's who we are in Christ. He makes us right with God and right with ourselves. And right. We have the breastplate, the vest of righteousness. Boy, that's big, isn't it? To know who you are, what you're about. Then we're at war, so we got to have shoes of peace. We saw the inconsistency there. How in the world can you have peace and you're at war? It's because the shoes of peace we put on gives us purpose and direction. We're motivated. Somebody's in a battle. If they have peace, they know the purpose, the reason for fighting. Man, that's essential to victory. Parenthetically, off the record, on the side, do you know why I believe ISIS has been so successful against the Iraqi army? We spent billions of dollars training the Iraqis how to defend themselves, didn't we? Billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. We spent a lot of blood over there preparing that maybe, even though they're Islamic, they could have a democracy or a republic, and they would be able to determine who their leaders are and what their laws would be. And they voted. Remember they came back, they had the fingers that were colored? They voted. And they trained the army. But when ISIS came along, they ran in fear. And they put down their arms. They surrendered all, virtually, the armament we'd given them. On and on and on again, they laid down and they ran. Why? They had the armor. They had the stuff. They'd been trained. Why? Because they did not understand that freedom always carries a price, and you always have to be willing to stand up and die for it if necessary. I'm afraid even here in America, we're slowly but surely forgetting that. Now, we have those three pieces of armor, and really that's enough to handle the devil. But I want you to see what else Paul says. Look at verse 16. I know it. He says, in addition to this, we got all we need. But Paul said, in addition to this, if we're going to be successful in the battle against evil in this world, in your life and in my life, he says, and he adds three more pieces of armor. These are symbols. By the way, remember what this is. We're putting on Jesus Christ, aren't we? We take off ourselves and we put on Christ. This is a symbol of what we have when we put on Christ. And then he says, in addition to this, what is this about? Look at John. I love this. John, over here, it tells us something really. John chapter 14, verse 20, Jesus says, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now watch this. Jesus saying that when Jesus says, I'm in the Father, right? Father God. And he's saying, you're in me and I'm in you. He's saying we're doubly protected. Isn't that terrific? We're doubly protected. You know, I'm in Christ, Christ in you, and we're all in the Father God. I mean, that is amazing protection. This is what Paul is saying here. He's saying you got on these three pieces of armor, but said in addition to this, if you're really going to stand and walk in the 21st century, you've got to have three other things. The first thing is, he said, you've got to take up the shield of faith. Now, this shield pictured here in the scripture is not one of those little round frisbee-like shields. You know, you see the little round shield. This shield is about 2.5 feet wide, about 4.5 feet long. It's almost like picking up a door. You got it? That's how big that Roman shield was. And the Roman shield was covered in leather. And therefore, the shield is there because the fiery darts from the enemy, the devil, comes and attacks us. How did the Romans use that shield? They would get there and they would line up with their legions. They would take that shield and they would hide behind that shield, and they would have a phalanx there, and they'd lock their shields together, shield after shield after shield. The next row, shield after shield. It would go all the way back, and the flaming arrows would come. Where were those flaming arrows? They would take cotton, put them on an arrow. They'd dip the cotton in pitch. It'd be fire, burning slow. They would slow it, and the arrow would come, and where it would hit, it would splatter fire. But you see, they were protected behind that shield. Let the flaming arrows of the devil come and attack us, because this shield is a shield of what? Faith. Now, we think faith is a weak word. It's not a strong word. It's a weak word. It's not a weak word. It's not a flimsy word. It's a strong word. We say, well, reason is strong and faith is weak. And therefore, we talk about natural revelation. Stay with me. That's the created order. And we say, I can look at the natural revelation, the created order, and I can come to believe that there's a God. Okay? That's reason. But we look at special revelation. That's the Bible. We say, oh, no, I have to accept the Bible by faith. Let me show you something. The best way to understand the difference between reason and faith is we use reason to have a faith, and we use faith to have reason. They're not opposites. They are complementary. Best way to see that is you're dating someone, your wife, husband. And when you're dating, it's good to use a little reason. If you fall in love only with your heart, heaven help you. Only by appearance, time out. So we use reason. We get to know the person. They get to know us, their habits, their understanding. There is a reason that involved. And then on the basis of that reason, we move into a faith. It's like saying, I do and I will. We have a reasonable faith. We come to the altar, I do and I will. We use our head and we use our heart as we fall in love. Our head gives us reason, our heart gives us faith, and they come together, and we have marriage. We have a reasonable faith. And that's important that we understand that. And so this shield of faith is strong. It is a reasoned faith. It is a firm faith. And faith is used in many ways in the Bible as a verb or a noun. It's the object of your faith. Somebody who just squirrels around, I see them all there. Oh, Pastor, I'm very spiritual. I have a lot of faith. What in the hoot does that mean? Nothing. Nothing. It's the object of that faith. And the object of that faith is reasonable. And therefore, we can understand it. We can comprehend it. It takes both to do it. We have a reasonable faith. We have the idea that, you know, that Aristotle or Socrates invented logic. You read that in philosophy. Oh, he invented logic. That's like saying Galileo invented gravity. No. Logic was there. Logic, as far as worldview is concerned, is neutral. It's neutral. But we use logic, and logic comes from reason, and it leads us to faith. A steadfast, a firm faith that we have. So we put up that shield of faith. We have something. We are protected. The enemy can't get to us. And we say, well, I have a lot of doubt. I have faith, but I have doubt. Listen, doubt's a super thing. You have to believe something for there to be a doubt. You have to have faith before you have the ability to doubt. Oh, doubt your doubts. It'll be stronger and you'll have a reasonable faith and a faith that is reasonable. It's beautiful. It's the way the Bible operates. Let me say it like this, where you remember it. There was a hunter out in the rainforest of Africa. And it was a quiet time, had his gun over his shoulder. He's walking around, man, breathing the clean air, beautiful colors, sights. All of a sudden, in the almost silence, they heard this screeching noise. Why? And all of a sudden, the monkeys started jumping around, making noises. Everybody's moving. He got his gun, say, something's up. And he looked up, and he saw a mother bird was making all this noise. And he saw that she had, you know, new little birds, baby birds in the nest. And she was flying around. He said, what's she so upset about? And he looked and saw a snake going up the tree where the nest was. He said, uh-oh, I know what she's upset about. And then he said he saw the mother bird fly over here and get a leaf and fly back with a leaf and very carefully put that leaf over the nest where the babies were. Just cover the nest with that leaf. And said, then the mother bird just flew off and sat there. Everything got quiet. The snake was still going up the tree. And said, when the snake got up the tree, he said, oh, this is going to be cruel. But the snake went back and started to strike. And then suddenly the snake backed up, didn't harm those baby birds, and just went right down the tree. He said, I was amazed. So I went to the village and asked some of the villagers there. I said, what happened? And they laughed at me. They said, don't you know that leaf was poisonous to that snake? And those baby birds were totally safe underneath that leaf. When the devil sees that shield of faith, ladies and gentlemen, fires all those doubts and fears and temptation. Man, we're behind that shield of faith. I'm telling you, that is our line of defense.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
2 Corinthians 12:7 through 9. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. To keep him from exalting himself, Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. The Bible does not tell us what that thorn was, but it was obviously something creating great difficulty and weakness for the apostle. On three occasions, or periods of time, Paul asked God to take away the thorn, to which the Lord answered, my grace is sufficient. The truth is, there are illnesses, problems, hardships, thorns in our lives we have to live with. The good news is we can take our thorns to the throne. Hebrews 4:16 tells us we can draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in times of need. So listen, take your thorn, whatever it might be, to the throne. There you'll discover love, mercy, and grace waiting just for you, and your thorn will be used in the mighty work of the kingdom of our Lord.
We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful series by Dr. Young. It's called Unmasking Evil, and he created it to help you face the evil in our culture in a uniquely Christian way by resting in the assurance of God's love for you and the ultimate defeat of evil through the cross. This 5-message series is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Unmasking Evil when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for joining us today. Listen in next week for more proven truth about the armor of God that protects you from harm. Have a great weekend.